All right, welcome once again, everybody. We are going to transition into our message time. And I just want to start out this morning saying that this message today is really meant to be one full of inspiration and encouragement for us all. Last week, I shared a passage from 2 Timothy 1:6 where Paul wrote to Timothy, who was leading this church in Ephesus. He said, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And I mentioned in that message that it's valuable for us to do just that, to fan into flame the gift of God, which means to remind ourselves of God's goodness, remind ourselves of who he is and why we put our faith in him, especially as we get immersed in the circumstances of life and we can get distracted. It's good to come back and focus on him again and just fan into flame that fire of our faith to propel us forward in living for him. And that really is a primary goal of this message today, to help us fan into flame the gift that God has given us through our faith in him. We are going to be considering one of the foundational hopes of faith in Jesus, which is the hope of eternal life. And we will be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul writes some things about this. So if you have a Bible with you, go ahead and open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I did bring some Bibles with me today if you'd like to use one. They're on the back table there. Feel free to go ahead and grab one if you'd like. But we're going to open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 together. And while you're opening up to that, I am going to recap a little bit of what we read about last week. Where are my notes? Oh my goodness, there we go. Lost track of my notes. Last week, one of the highlight passages I focused on was 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, which says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." And the point of that whole message and the point of this verse is that we are not somehow great and powerful and wonderful to serve God. No, we are actually limited. We have weaknesses. We're challenged by our shortcomings and our sinful tendencies. We're just jars of clay. But God is powerful and God is gracious, and he places his treasure of love and grace and the power of the Holy Spirit within us when we put our faith in Jesus. And he uses and he works that power in and through us to show his goodness and greatness when we make ourselves available to him. And let me just tell you that when I look at my own life, I am so encouraged by that. It was around 17 years ago that I responded to an opportunity that was presented to me to move here, to be involved in starting this church. But even before that, I had a moment where I responded to a desire in my own heart to serve the Lord, to make a difference in this world with him, for him, just by making myself available to him. And it has been a journey since then of stepping out in faith, trusting the Lord when he puts into opportunities in front of me, asking him to do just what that passage says, to place his treasure within me and work through me. And no doubt there have been lots of challenges along the way. But after all this time, even though I'm still very aware of my own shortcomings, my own sins, my own weaknesses, I am so encouraged by the fact that I have seen God work in marvelous ways as I've made myself available to him. He has been at work within me, producing changes in me. Year after year, as I walk with him, I gain new levels of understanding of faith and what it means to walk with him. He's taught me lessons I probably never would have learned if I had not said yes to him. And I've had the joy of seeing him work in other people's lives through me and working around me. And so I find no greater joy in life than that, than having God work in and through me. And I want to just say that again to encourage you to do the same, to offer your life to Jesus for his sake, for him to work in and through and around you, and to stick with that throughout your life. This is the joy that Paul expressed in 2 Corinthians 4 when he wrote that we do not lose heart. He says in verses 17 and 18, "For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, The things that are unseen are eternal. He's expressing the joy of allowing and seeing God work through him, and understanding that the challenges of life are only temporary, that there's something greater that God is preparing for us. And he transitions from that thought into what we read in chapter 5. And so let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read the first 10 verses together for this morning. So here's what he writes. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident, and we know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive what is due him for the things he's done while in the body, whether good or bad. Paul is speaking about this gift of eternal life in Christ. When he refers to the tent of our bodies, that earthly tent, he's talking about our mortal flesh, our current physical being that is subject to death and decay. And he says, if this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, something much stronger and longer lasting, a house that's not made, something that's eternal that he offers us. He's referring to the promise that Jesus made of eternal life with him. We can see Jesus expressing that promise in John chapter 14. So if you'd like to follow along, let's turn over to John 14, and we'll read what Jesus said. During this time, he was meeting with his disciples at that final Passover meal before he was arrested and taken away to be crucified. John chapter 14, verse 1 begins like this. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you may also be where I am. And you know the place where I am going." Jesus was referring to going away to be with the Father, what we refer to as heaven, that eternal existence that he promises with the Father. He says he was going to prepare a place for us, that we who put our faith in him may join him there one day. This is one of the great promises of faith in Jesus. Because he took the penalty of sin upon himself, he provides us undeserved forgiveness and purification before God. And that allows us to enjoy eternal fellowship with the Father. We will never be separated from him. It's the promise of Christ. We will not be separated today, tomorrow, nor the day that we pass from this world. Not for eternity. That is an amazing promise that God offers. The Bible communicates that our being, body, mind, soul, is made for eternity. We do not perish, but we choose where we get to enjoy eternal life, whether we enjoy it with God or were we eternally separated from him. Now, this is not just an idea expressed by religious people. This is an idea that is deeply embedded into the human heart, and it has been for centuries. There's something built into us that knows there's this longing for eternity and immortality, and we see it expressed throughout human culture. The ancient Egyptians prepared and preserved bodies of their departed loved ones so that they would not decay. They were preparing them for life after death. When we dug into the Egyptian tombs, the pyramids, we found that possessions were left, carefully left with those people who passed away so that they could enjoy life in eternity. We see a number of different religions expressing a life after death, a longing to live for eternity. And outside of religion, we see all kinds of accounts of people having near-death experiences and coming back and telling of an experience of a life beyond this one, a new existence of some kind. Today, we apply scientific study to try to do things like defeat aging and death. I've read the headlines so many times in my adult life that we have defeated aging with our scientific know-how. And we keep pushing the limits of how long the body can stay strong and healthy and vibrant. We apply all kinds of cosmetic techniques to try to maintain youthful appearances as long as possible. This is part of our human quest for eternity, wanting to live longer and longer. There are new options being offered today for preserving and maintaining life after death, seeking an immortality of a kind for our loved ones and ourselves. The ashes of your loved ones can now be planted in a pot with a tree sapling so that you can become part of that tree and live on for eternity. And I just read an article yesterday about a rocket launch that's happening next year that's going to contain the remains and DNA samples from some 200 Americans so that they can be launched into orbit around the sun and live there for eternity. There are people who have donated their DNA for this project, excited about this possibility of being existing for eternity. The remains of the creator of Star Trek and some of the actors that starred in that show are going to be among those. They claim to have a hair follicle of George Washington. All of these things are being launched into space in a quest for immortality. And I share all these things just to point out how deeply embedded this longing, this knowledge of eternity is within the human heart. Jesus makes this promise that we can enjoy eternity. We are made for eternity. We can enjoy it in fellowship with Him for all time. Notice the way Paul writes about the change from this life into the next. It's really interesting to me the way he describes it. He says we're currently living in a tent, and one day we will be given a building, as I said, something much stronger and more stable and longer lasting. He says that when we enter into eternity, we're not unclothed, we're not left naked, we're not losing something, but rather we're going to be further clothed. He said that the mortal life, the current life, will be swallowed up by life. The New Century Version says this. This is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4. He says, then this body dies, and it will be fully covered with life. And this is so different from our common views of thinking about life and death. And honestly, in my own experience as a Christian, I have not heard of these references and really thought about it in this way, as much as I think that God communicates it to us. Our view tends to be that life is simply a loss. Our body decays, we go away, and without a doubt, it is a loss for those of us who are left behind. When somebody we lose goes away, it is a loss for us. There's a separation, and there is loss there. And so, of course, that is part of it. But the Bible expresses this idea that when we enter into the next life, that life is so much more than we experience here and now. Right now, we are limited. Right now, we only experience a part of the life that God has for us. A shadow of the fullness of the goodness and the joy of the Lord that is available to us through Jesus. The essence of who God made us to be, our soul, is clothed with a new body, a new life in eternity that's so much more than what we have right now. We get to experience in Christ the fullness of fellowship with God and the fullness of life that He intended from us. Let's take a look at verse 5 again in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Paul writes, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Let me read it again from the New Century Version. This is what God made us for. He has given us the Spirit to be a guarantee for this new life. And this is the Christian message, that God has made us for fellowship with Him, to know Him fully, to experience His love and His grace, and not just to experience it in moments where we're focused on Him, but to experience it for eternity, to know of His goodness every moment of every day for all time. And He gives us the Holy Spirit to be with us when we put our faith in Christ. This is the presence of God with us today when we live by faith in Him. And that is the guarantee to show us now of the fullness of life to come. Isn't it? It's amazing to imagine that, isn't it? To think that the experience we have of God working in us through us now, that treasure that He places in us that I expressed earlier, the joy that comes from us, is only a taste of what is to come. But there's so much more that God has available to us. And it urges me on to want to follow and live with Him and in Him more and more. And so Paul writes in the next verses, we are always of good courage. Where he says we are always confident. We know that we are, as long as we are home in this body, as we are present in this world, we are away from the Lord. And so we walk by faith, not by sight. The promise of eternity with God is not just an optimistic and hopeful outlook on the future one day, but it is a promise for today. The promise of eternity is why Christian funerals are often a mixture of both mourning and loss, but also celebration of the life of the loved one who has entered into eternity with Jesus. Let's take a look at another passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. We read about this the way that we mourn as Christians. Going to take me a moment to find it, so you have time to find it as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. This is again the Apostle Paul writing. He says, Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, referring to those who pass away in this life, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. And he's just expressing again this promise of eternity with Christ, and how we do not mourn like those who don't understand that there is fellowship with the Lord after this life. We mourn the loss. It is a separation, and we miss those that we love, but we also celebrate that there is an opportunity for them to be present with the Lord and experience the fullness of His love in eternity. But the joy and the hope found in this promise, as I said, is not just for someday when we depart this life, but it is for today as well. This promise provides hope and endurance in our lives today. Paul says twice in 2 Corinthians 5 that we always have courage. While we live at home in this current body, we live by faith that one day we will be with the Lord, and that nothing that this world can do to us can take that promise away. That means there's nothing to fear in this world. We live by faith in the promise of God's presence at all times, no matter what happens to us or around us. We have faith that God will choose when it is time for us to go be with Him. And until then, we know that He is with us and caring for us and guiding us. So whether we're at home, meaning we're here, or we're away from this world, whether we're apart from this world or with God in eternity, Paul says we make it our aim to please Him. And we seek to please Him out of love for Him, for the grace and mercy He's shown us. We do so out of joy in this promise that He will always be with us. The promise of eternal life is a promise that can sustain you in everything that life throws at you. There is no mistaking the fact that this world is full of hardships and sadness and loss. We don't want to lose sight of that. We don't want to cover over that. Our life in this world is immersed in sin and brokenness. We all experience it. It makes life difficult to bear at times. And that challenge, the brokenness of the world, can leave you feeling empty and hopeless and alone. It can leave us feeling bitter if our focus is only on those things and if we're not aware of what God promises beyond those things. But when life leads to loss, loss of those dear to us, we can find a sustaining hope in Christ, knowing that they are now free from the brokenness of this world, and that they may be filled with the fullness of life in Christ. And there is hope in knowing that one day we may rejoin them as well in the goodness of God. When the circumstances of this life are difficult to bear, there is hope in knowing that God is now present with you and he will always be present with you, offering his strength and wisdom. We can endure those trials and even the persecution that can sometimes come by knowing that God will make good of every circumstance. No matter what becomes of us, he will always be with us, and there is no greater gift than that. This perseverance and the hope of eternity has sustained Christians across generations and around the world through countless challenges. It has given them courage and faith and endurance to risk everything in their life for the sake of doing good somewhere in this world for Jesus' glory, and to overcome some of the great evils that harm people today. People have gone out and made huge differences in this world, sustained by the hope of the presence of Jesus for eternity. It's this kind of persevering faith among Christians that has led to the development of things that we enjoy today, like hospitals and modern perspectives on healthcare. It has led to the development of schools to provide opportunities for all people to become educated and to do great things with their lives. It has led people to take great risks for the gospel in every area of the world so that others may know of the love and the freedom of Christ. And they have been sustained by the knowledge that God is now and always will be with them. And so I want to encourage you today to take faith in Jesus, to hold on to his promise of eternity with confidence. Whatever trials you may be facing, hold on to the hope that Jesus can overcome all things in this life and in the next. Whatever sorrows you are holding, you can know that Jesus knows and cares. And he will be by your side today, tomorrow, through all the ups and downs and into eternity. He will be by your side. He will care for you. And whatever God may be calling you into next in life, no matter how big, no matter how difficult it may be, you need not worry. Jesus will be with you. He will provide what you need. And this is a promise that holds through eternity. Take heart today that Jesus is available to you. He cares for you. No matter what this world takes from you, Jesus will one day clothe you fully with life that you are so fully with life that what you experience now will be swallowed up by that goodness. You'll be so overwhelmed by the fullness of life and light in Christ and experience the joy of the life to come. So my prayer and my hope for you today is that God would give you hope and joy in every circumstance because of his promise of his presence for eternity. Let's give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his promises to us. And then let's celebrate with our closing song. Lord God, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your enduring presence, Father. I thank you that we have nothing to fear in this world, that you comfort us, that you sustain us, that you give us purpose and reason to persevere. I pray for your blessing on each person here, Lord. Whatever their circumstances in life right now are, I pray that you would just meet with them. Let them know that you are near. Let them know that you are full of love and grace and comfort for them, that you have purpose for them, that they need not fear anything that this world has, because you offer such a life of fullness when we put our faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.